So to make the most out of the plants that we have in our garden, there are some times when you do just need stuff. There's going to be equipment you need. It might be tools. It might be raw materials. And I'm going to run through today both all the things that I think are necessary, but also some ways that maybe you can get your hands on what you need without having to put your hands first into your pockets. Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency. Being sustainable and food security matters. Hello, everyone. I hope you're all safe and well. Welcome to episode 41 of the Self-Sufficient Podcast. So, garden equipment, there's quite a lot out there, and it's very easy to get overwhelmed and think you need to spend an awful lot of money to grow a garden, but that's simply not the case. There are some things that, admittedly, I would find it very, very difficult to not have, and that I would consider to be basically essential, but there's nothing that is going to prohibit you getting started, and certainly nothing you need to spend a lot of money on. So we're going to run through all the garden equipment today and some tips on how you might be able to get hold of things perhaps cheaper or for free than you might otherwise have considered. So we're going to start out with the few elements that I consider to be almost essential, really. And the first of those are some very small, simple hand tools, and they would be a hand trowel and a hand fork. So even though I obviously advocate no-dig gardening, we still want a trowel to move around the earth at the very top layer where we're going to be planting things into. So a hand trowel really is indispensable. And the same applies for a hand fork, because sometimes you just need to loosen some soil. There's no two ways around it. So a hand trowel and a hand fork, there is lots of differing opinions on whether or not the more expensive brands are worth the extra cost. There's little doubt that they will almost certainly last longer. But in my opinion, the best way to source these things is actually to get second-hand equipment, because nine times out of ten, if there is a second-hand hand trowel or hand fork available, it's going to be a decent brand anyway. And chances are it's not being disposed of because it's no longer any good. It's just being disposed of because the previous owner either is having a clear out and finds out they've got too many, or simply is just not using them anymore. So there's nothing wrong with buying second-hand equipment at all. They do also come up from time to time for free on Freecycle and Craigslist and Facebook groups and things like that. Brings us on to the second section, which is the slightly larger equipment. And basically all the same tips apply for sourcing of these. And the two that I consider to be most invaluable would be just the standard garden fork and a standard garden spade. Now, again, you may not find that you need these immediately, particularly if you're going for a non-dig method, but there are times when you need to or would like to move perennial plants that are established. Perhaps you want to purchase or collect and put in a new fruit tree or a berry bush, and you do need to work the soil in order to create the new home. So a fork and a spade are things that you're definitely going to want to have on hand. Again, these can be gotten hold of second hand, and even brand new, all of the things that I've mentioned so far, you can purchase everything for under £40. I personally would recommend, if it's at all possible, just to spend a little bit of time thinking about the overall components. If you've got a garden fork or spade where the working element, the tines of the fork or the spade, is made of one material and the handle is made of another, the join between the two is most likely going to be the weak point. So just bear that in mind. If you are able to get a fork or spade that is all metal and made in one piece, then that's going to, in my experience, last you that little bit longer. But all of these things will last really comparatively to how you look after them. If you try and overwork your fork, if you try and force something with your fork, then you're going to bend the tines and weaken them. So try and use them appropriately and they'll last a very long time. The next thing, and this is critical for me, and it's a hoe. A hoe is how I manage my weed control in my vegetable bed, and it's a great combination tool to use with the no-dig method, because you hoe just down below the mulch level and you basically cut off all your weeds. And a little bit of practice goes a long way. I personally like the push type hoes, which I think are called Dutch hoes rather than the pull type hoes, but it's a personal preference thing. That will be up to you, and whichever one you become proficient with, you will find that's your favourite for sure. The next two things, and there's not much left really on my list of what I would consider to be essential basic kit. The first is a rake, and just a regular garden rake, and that is just for tidying up soil wherever you've done any digging, and it's also for raking mulch so that the garden bed looks all nice and even, and it makes it much easier to mulch because you can pour a big wheelbarrow full of mulch somewhere and then just rake it around. And as always, the same information goes with everything else I've mentioned with regards to acquiring a rake. And finally, a dibber. Now, a dibber is just a handle with a spike on it, and you push the spike into the ground to make holes for planting seeds or seedlings into. Now, you can purchase dibbers or you can make your own. You can easily make your own dibber from any old handle from a dead piece of garden equipment. If you've got a spade that's broke and you've got a timber handle and a few inches of shaft, then you can just sharpen that shaft down with a good knife into a point and you've got yourself a dibber. But you can equally just use pieces of tree branch that have fallen or that you've cut down and use that to the same effect. I have never really found a dibber that works any better than one that I've made out of an old tree limb that's come down, is roughly the right size and has got a nice turn on it for me to use as a handle. So that's the bulk of the essential equipment that you are going to want. And the next thing we're going to talk about is water, and then all the other equipment that you may need in the garden. Self-Sufficient Hub is now on Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/self-sufficient-hub. Anything you can donate is massively appreciated and will help to make the show better. So all plants need water, and you may find that you're a fair distance from your main water source where your garden is. So there's quite a lot to consider here. So the first thing that I'm going to say is really an essential item is some way of delivering water effectively to your plants. Now, this can either be a watering can with a fine rose, or it can be a hose with a mist spray attachment. Now, the spray attachment or the fine rose really are quite critical, because just watering with a standard hose or the end of a watering can is going to do far more damage to your seedlings than you're going to want. It's really important that we deliver that water as softly and gently as possible, because our seedlings, when they first come out and when we're going to be watering them most frequently, are going to be very susceptible to getting bent over and damaged by a heavy stream of water. So it all really depends on your setup and the geography of your garden and how far your taps are from your beds. But I've mentioned in previous episodes the utility of water butts. So if there's any way you can set up water butts near where you need the water, then you're going to find that that pays dividends in the long run. The other thing that we've done where water butts weren't practical is we've got a quite a long system of hoses that run all around our garden. So we've got mains water available almost everywhere that we need it, that we can't get a water butt. So if you're able to install some kind of system that delivers water directly to where you need it, that's definitely a benefit. So I consider investing in hoses a good investment. Hoses are something you need to be a little bit wary of if you're picking them up from somewhere like Freecycle or secondhand, because they are not always as sound as they look. They can have lots of holes in it, although they can be repaired with some tape, but they also sometimes become quite brittle. If they are a cheaper hose, then they're not necessarily the type of plastic that's going to hold up very well to being exposed to UV light, and they can become very brittle over time. So it's just something to consider long term. It might be something that's worth investing a little bit of money in. So with regards to other equipment, and these are all things that are going to vary between just something that's nice to have or something that is essential, depending on really your systems. But they include the following. So we'll start with secateurs. So secateurs are basically scissors that are designed specifically for your plants. And there's two types, and that is the bypass and the anvil type. Now, the anvil type, if you imagine the two sides of your scissors, one has a blade and one has almost a plate that the blade comes down onto. And the other type is a bypass shear type secateurs. And in the bypass system, the two blades pass each other just like a pair of scissors. The only thing to bear in mind really is if you are trying to save money and you are purchasing very cheap secateurs, I would strongly recommend the anvil type, because the bypass shears of the cheaper brands tend to come away from each other. The blades come away from each other over time, so they don't tend to last as long as the anvil type. But again, these are things that can be gotten hold of through all the other methods that I've mentioned already. It's worth considering, if you've got fruit trees or any larger plants, also getting hold of a lopper, which is effectively a pair of long-handled secateurs that have two benefits for larger branches. The first is the ability of the shears to actually go through much larger branches, but also the length of reach on the handles. It's quite important not to use your regular handheld secateurs for bigger branches, because they just won't be up to it. They will damage the branch and the secateurs most likely. Once you've got these things, it's well worth learning how to sharpen them with a sharpening stone or whatever implement you're most comfortable with. But keeping your equipment sharp is going to save you time and money in the long run. Something else that you may consider, if you're gardening in a stony patch, and if you are, I do recommend actually working the soil in the first year to remove the stones. A riddle, which is effectively a sieve for earth. You put the earth on the plate and shake it around, and all the earth falls through and the stones are sieved out. This is something that can be quite expensive if you buy it new, but they do occasionally come up from time to time on eBay secondhand and all the other places that I've mentioned. String is something that is often invaluable in all walks of life, but never more so than in the garden. You will want some way of attaching things like tomato plants to your canes and all manner of other uses of string. So we obviously, as you're aware, keep animals, and we have hay, so we have more than enough baling twine from when we cut open our bales of hay, and that's what we tend to use. You can also make string from all sorts of natural plants that have cordage in, not least of all stinging nettles are great, but other than that, you can purchase it quite cheaply almost anywhere. So it is something that's worth having to hand before you need it, because it's one of those things that when you need it, you really need it. If you do have trees, then a wire rake is going to be very handy, as well as a regular garden rake. It's going to allow you to rake up the leaves, and it's going to do that without damaging your lawns or grounds underneath. The final thing here is stakes. So if you're going to be growing peas, beans, tomato plants, all those kind of things, rather than purchasing very expensive tomato cages that, in my opinion, are usually not really fit for purpose, it's much better to just use stakes. Now, you've got a couple of options here, which can be free. They are bamboo and branches. So we have some clumping bamboo growing in our garden in one of our formal beds, and we effectively harvest that every year for all the bamboo we need. It's a great little bit of permaculture system use we've got going on, because we harvest our bamboo and then we place the bamboo in with our goats, who very kindly strip all the leaves of it for us, and then we remove the canes, which are ready for use in the garden. So the bamboo both feeds our goats and props up our plants. We've also planted a few hazel trees. We're not going to allow them to grow to trees. We're actually going to coppice them and use all of the coppiced wood for making our garden structures. So any type of coppiceable tree is a great addition to your garden. The next things on our list are to do with moving things around, because there's always going to be times when you need to carry more than you're able, and moving things with wheels is definitely an advantage. It's really easy for you to get in touch with us. You can now send us an email at selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com, or you can send us a voice message. The easiest way to do that is through the link in the show notes. You can record your message on your phone and send it straight to us, where we can play it on the show. Don't forget to leave your name and where you're calling from. We are always thrilled to hear any feedback, suggestions for the show, or questions that you may have. So do get in touch with us. So when we're moving things around the garden, we have three main modes of transport for anything that's not going to fit in a simple bucket. The first is the obvious one, and that is a wheelbarrow. Now, any old wheelbarrow will do. It's certainly worth thinking about getting punctureless tyres, particularly if you've got a lot of hawthorn or things with brambles and spikes in your garden, as we do. So we have punctureless tyres, and I'm so happy that we have them, because I've spent far too often pushing a wheelbarrow in my life with a flat tyre. So just something to consider. You can buy the tyres separately, and even if you've already got your wheelbarrow, next time you get a puncture, maybe think about fitting one of those tyres to it. A shovel is also very important to me. One of the things that we do to mulch our beds is use wood chip that gets delivered, very big amounts of it, on the back of a tipper truck, and shoveling is by far the quickest way of getting that into my wheelbarrow or cart. And the cart is the other method we use of moving things with a wheel. It's what we've got is basically a trolley with four wheels and a long handle. The trolley originally was, I believe, for coarse fishing. People who go coarse fishing will be familiar with this, but when you go fishing for carp, you've got a lot of equipment, and the car park might not be right next to the lake. So fishing shops sell very, very expensive fishing carts, which are basically four wheels on a square or rectangle bed with four sides that have hinges and a long handle. We found ours at a poultry auction where we were buying poultry, and we bought it for, I can't remember how much, but a very, very cheap price compared to what I think it's worth. So that's something that is great for us, particularly if we want to move around a lot of plants or something that we want to keep flat. A wheelbarrow isn't always the best way for that. The other thing with a wheelbarrow is, because it's only on one wheel, it tends to bounce a little bit more and jiggle things around that are in it, whereas a cart with four wheels is much more sturdy and safe when you're moving things that are a little bit more delicate. The next thing for moving things around is a pitchfork. If you've got animals particularly, and you're going to be cleaning out lots of bedding or excess hay, then a pitchfork is by far the best way to move that around. And with everything else, it's really down to just looking after your equipment, not overusing it, and then it will last a very long time, particularly a pitchfork, because you're not actually moving much that's very heavy with it, 9 times out of 10. And the final carrying method we have are little timber boxes. So if you have a fruit and vegetable shop near you, chances are they have hundreds of these pass through them every few months, and they'd be very grateful if you could get rid of them for them. And the little wooden crates really are a great way of transporting seedlings and things of that nature around the garden. They also double up as kindling. So once you've got hold of a load, when they start to give way, we just strip them all down and put them into bags and use them as kindling. The last section for today's episode is all to do with what you need for actually planting things for seeds and seedlings in your garden. So for planting your seeds and seedlings, you're going to want some pots, some seedling trays, some cloches, and all sorts of bits and bobs like that. But you really don't need to be buying any of these. So basically, pots, once you've got enough, you should be able to just recycle them every year. But even if you find yourself short, pots are something that are very readily available for free, because so many people have excess pots because they don't grow their own plants from seeds. So all you really need to do is just reach out amongst your local communities, be them in your neighborhood or online, and the chances of you finding some plant pots that people are very, very grateful to have taken off their hands are very high. The same applies for seedling trays. What you need to remember is that most people who have seedling trays are buying their seedlings in those trays. That's why they exist. That's how they've got them. Now, these people don't then have a use for those seedling trays the following year, because they're going to buy their seedlings again. And what happens is, over time, they have this buildup of pots and pots and seedling trays upon seedling trays in their greenhouse, in their shed, outside their back door, and they are just waiting for someone to say, can I have them? So all you need to do is ask, and these things tend to become very available very easily. You can also make your own pots out of yogurt pots and margarine tubs and anything like that. So long as you put a couple of holes for drainage in the bottom, you've effectively got a plant pot. The final thing is cloches. Now, cloches for protecting our seedlings from the frost are really simple to make. I just use recycled plastic bottles, and there are two types. I either just cut the top off the bottle and turn it upside down, giving me effectively a mini plastic greenhouse, or sometimes I cut the tops and the bottoms off if I don't need a massive amount of frost protection. But I quite often do this for my peas. And then what I do is I actually put my bamboo stake in the ground inside the pot, and I leave that bottle there for the entirety of the growing season, and I allow the plant to grow up through it. And that not only gives it some frost protection, but it also keeps some of the pests away that would otherwise be wanting to munch on your seedlings. So that's a rundown of all the materials and essential gardening kit that really you're going to want to get hold of. I'm a massive advocate of not saying that you need anything, because you don't. You don't need anything. You can dig with your hands if you want to. And I really don't want not having the right piece of equipment to be the reason someone can't do something. But I also just wanted to talk about what people should be thinking about getting and how they can get hold of it. The whole reason I do this is to try and get people to move through the barriers that are stopping them from becoming more self-sufficient. And I know that sometimes I harp on a bit about how you can get things for free, and perhaps that might not be your bag. And if that's the case, I apologize. And if you're in a position to go out and buy the best of everything, then more power to you and good for you. Go for it. But what I don't want is people who aren't in that position to think, well, I can't really afford a decent pair of secateurs, therefore I cannot start gardening. I'm really trying to break down that barrier. So Please let me know what you think. Let me know if you've got any feedback on anything I've said. I do absolutely love hearing from you. You can get in touch with us through all the usual ways. There's a link in the show notes to leave a voice message, which we can play on the show. There's also our email address, selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com. It is great hearing from you guys. And you can also connect with us on Facebook if you search for Self-Sufficient Hub. I'm quite new to the whole social media thing. I'm not really a big lover of Facebook, but I am uploading the episodes there, and I will eventually get round to working out how to do more on the YouTube site. If there's anyone listening who'd like to be involved that knows what they're doing and is happy to maybe help me grow that side of Self-Sufficient Hub, then please get in touch. As you're probably aware, the show has a budget of £0 and zero pence at the moment. But if that's something you think you might enjoy and you'd like to do, then reach out and we can have a chat. Anyway, that's it for today. Thanks for listening. Speak to you tomorrow. If you find these podcasts valuable, there are several ways you can support them. The easiest ways are to rate it and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. You could also share it online, talk about it anywhere you blog, or find someone you think might be interested and point them our way. You can also find and support us on YouTube, where we are also Self-Sufficient Hub. Thanks for listening.